Well, what I'd like to share with you as we go into this work in more detail, some of the prophets, and some of them are ancient prophets, some of them are very recent prophets. Perhaps one of the oldest prophecies for this time in history is found in a very mystical book of our Western Bible. It's a book entitled Revelation. And as you'll see in just a few moments, the revelation that we have today is essentially a Reader's Digest condensed version of a much broader Aramaic text that includes the messages of hope and possibility, as well as the messages of doom and destruction. And you'll understand why the translation changed, why it was condensed. The prophet John is the author of the book of Revelation. And John shares through the Aramaic traditions that in a dream, he asked to see what would come of the people of this world. And in a dream, he was taken from his time ahead of our time and shown all the great possibilities of war machines and destruction. And he describes them with such detail that it's hard to imagine that he could have simply made them up in pre-biblical times, because they so accurately describe the war machines and the destruction that we've seen today. He was shown a book that had seven chapters, seven seals, and as he touched each chapter open before him, he witnessed the possibility where the people of this world, of this time, had turned their backs on the forces of nature, where we had turned our backs on what they call the angel of the air, the angel of the wind, the angel of the earth, where we had harnessed power and used it for destruction instead of production. And John was heartbroken when he saw this. He was in tears and he fell to his knees before those who were showing him this. And he said, "Is this the only possibility? Is this all that we have to look forward to?" John said, "I would do anything. I'm only one man, and I would do anything to change this." And this is the way he describes. He says, the angels of the world, and if you don't like the word angels, you can simply call them electromagnetic forces. Call them a formless consciousness that came and whisked John away into this scenario. The angels looked at him, and there was sadness as well as joy in their eyes. And they said, "John, this is only one possibility, and all it takes is one man, one human, to choose life and to live that life fully, and this scenario will never come about." And John says, "I'll do that. I'll be the one. I'll be the one to do that." And the angels looked and said to him, "You who are at once the highest of the high, the lightest of the light, and the lowest of the low, and the darkest of the dark, you're both of those together. It's for you that heaven and earth were created so that you may know yourself and love on a level deeper than any angels have ever loved before." And John goes on to share a possibility that I'll describe in more detail that was taken from our text 1700 years ago. So that's, when we talk about prophecies, that's one of the most ancient. A little more recent, there was a 16th century prophet many of us know today as Nostradamus. And one of the most amazing things about Nostradamus is that his texts have been continuously in print since the 16th century. They have never gone out of print. Over 300 years. Now, his books have been continuously in print. What a record for an author to be able to boast of. I mean, how great. Books have been around for 300 years. Nostradamus's prophecies are a little nebulous at best because he writes in terms of what are called quatrains, and they're very poetic. So there's been a lot of controversy about them. One of his best-known works is called The Centuries, because there are 100 quatrains describing the centuries. And what scholars do agree upon is when they've backed in the dates into the scenarios that he's talking about, 1988 appears to be the beginning for Nostradamus of a window in time that extends into our time, 1988, a window in time where we may expect to begin seeing these great cataclysmic changes in our world. More recently, a prophet of Edgar Cayce, I know many people are familiar with the works of Edgar Cayce, was known as the sleeping prophet because he would essentially go into a trance as he shared his information. And although he came about it from many different perspectives, some of Cayce's prophecies were so precise in their languaging. For example, he predicted that 1998 would be the beginning. It would open the window of a period of time where Earth would see such great change, geographic change, that we would never recognize our Earth again, as well as change within our bodies. He went so far as to predict a shift in the rotational axis of the Earth, as well as reversals of the polar magnetic field, 180-degree reversals of the magnetic field. Now, our scientists have gone back in the geologic record, and we know there's a precedent for this. Earth's magnetic fields have flipped 180 degrees. What used to be north became south, and what used to be south became north. Earth has seen that at least 14 times in the last 4.5 million years. We've seen that happen. We've never seen it happen with 6 billion or so people living on the planet. So we don't know precisely what that means to us. And even more recent prophets, such as Gordon Michael Scallion, some of you are familiar, I know, with his newsletters and his work and the maps of the world that he's created, describing what he sees. And I believe that Gordon Michael Scallion is a heartfelt being that is sharing to the best of his ability the visions that he's seeing in a given moment and doing his best in the only way that he knows how in that moment to share that with people so that they may prepare themselves, possibly averting some of these experiences. Gordon Michael Scallion sees great geophysical changes, the great inland sea that we saw during the Cretaceous period of Earth 300 million years ago, 350 million years ago. In his visions, he sees that once again as the Great Lakes are connected with the Gulf of Mexico. And it's interesting because the satellite photographs from the floods of 1993, when the Mississippi and the Missouri rivers were out of their banks for weeks on end, they appeared very similar to some of those old maps of Earth, as well as some of Gordon Michael Scallion's maps. And the seismic activity, global volcanic activity, and earthquake activity, all of these prophecies are pointing to a period of catastrophic change and destruction. My belief, and I'll share this with you, I am an optimist. It's important for me to say that. I see this window of time as a great window of hope and possibility rather than a window of doom and destruction. What I see and what I've witnessed, having researched many ancient texts, many ancient traditions, including our own Native American, almost universally, if we look closely, the predictions and the prophecies are very clear. They remind us that the destruction is simply one path, and that this unknown element, this variable that's still being worked out, human consciousness, how we treat one another day in and day out in our lives, and what we feel are these insignificant moments in the presence of one another, those are the keys. That's the science that allows us to determine the outcome to this time in history, that allows us to build the foundation for our future. And in that science, the tenets of compassion, forgiveness, peace within our bodies, peace between one another, and peace on a global level play a key role. And we're reminded that peace occurs between individuals before it ever happens between governments and nations. They left us a technology. They left us the keys that allow us to create that peace and once again to commune with the creative forces of our world. So as we're moving into this body of information, the reason I am so passionate about this now, that I'm sharing this now, is because if we're ever to embrace the greatest possibilities of what it means to be human, if we're ever to allow for our greatest potential to be expressed in life, this time in history, at the shift of the ages, the close of the millennium, the zero point moment, this is the time to call back to us, to reclaim the inner gifts of technology that have always been our heritage, and to create what we choose to create from this point forward, to become peace, forgiveness, and compassion in our world now, because that is what we carry across as the living bridge into this time that we call the new millennium. It's the great possibility of this time in history.